Please take your Bibles and open to Romans chapter 8. We'll be in Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. Romans 8, I'll begin reading in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word together as a church family. Father, I pray for those who are not with us this morning. Father, I pray that you would help them to have a joy-filled day rejoicing in Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would bring us together again soon. Father, I pray that as we open your word this morning, that you would help us to truly rejoice in what you have done for us through your son, Jesus. Please help me to be clear as I preach this morning. Father, help us to love you more through your word, through hearing your word and doing your word. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 8 is not an unfamiliar passage to most of us. My guess is that you have read it, memorized it, heard sermons on Romans chapter 8, probably have sung a song about Romans chapter 8. It's a chapter in God's word that we're well familiar with. It's not something new. And so this morning, I don't intend on making some big statement that you're going to be awed and wowed about that you've never heard before. That's not my intention this morning. My intention is to encourage you from the scriptures, from something you know that you might not always think about because it's become familiar to you, it's become common to you. And so this morning, I want to encourage you and comfort you and help you as we look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And I'm sure that that this whole chapter, different portions of it, have been an encouragement to you through your time in life and through different aspects of your life. And I know it has been in mine as well. But this morning, we're just going to focus on the first two verses. This whole chapter is incredible. We're just going to focus on the first two verses and see what God has for us and remind ourselves of the incredible news that's worth rejoicing in. And that's where our big idea comes in. Our big idea this morning is God wants you to rejoice in no condemnation. God wants you to rejoice, or God wants you to find joy in no condemnation. And we need to hear this truth today, the truth that we need to rejoice in no condemnation. And the reason that we need to hear it is because, I don't know if you're like me, but oftentimes we can become our greatest prosecutor. Okay? If you're familiar with a courtroom setting, a prosecutor is the one who stands and accuses the person on trial. And we can become our own worst prosecutor, meaning we can condemn ourselves when God's already taken care of that condemnation through Jesus Christ. Meaning when we sin, we beat ourselves up for our failure to live in a way that pleases and glorifies God, when our right response is to rejoice in the truth that in Jesus there is no more condemnation. It's been taken care of. It's been eliminated. And maybe you're here this morning and you know full well that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you find sin to be a constant battle, a constant struggle in your life. Maybe you're here this morning feeling like a failure because you lose in that battle far more than you win. There's hope for you today. There's hope for you today. And the hope for today, for us today, is found in Romans 8, 1 and 2. Where we see that God wants you to rejoice. God wants me. God wants us to rejoice in no condemnation. We rejoice in no condemnation, remembering three truths. First, we rejoice in no condemnation by understanding you deserve condemnation. You might think, well, this makes no sense. How am I supposed to rejoice in no condemnation if I'm supposed to remember that I deserve condemnation? Let me see if I can help us to understand this. Paul is writing this letter to the Romans. It was a letter. Now, we have it in our Bibles with things that they did not have. We have chapters. We have chapter 8 that says right there before verse 1. We have verse markings. They didn't have any of these. When Paul wrote this, it was one long letter. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really write letters anymore. Maybe you do, and that is really good because I think it's really encouraging to get a handwritten letter from someone. But when you get a handwritten letter, don't you enjoy that? Don't you appreciate the time that was put into it? I imagine these Roman believers receiving this letter and being like, whoa, that's a big letter. Especially in a culture where they didn't have paper as easily accessible and things to write with as we do today. But Paul is writing this letter in which they would have read it continuously. They would have read through chapters 1 through 7 and then instantly went to chapter 8 without taking a break. Paul spent time writing this. And more specifically, Paul spent time writing chapter 7, which builds up to Romans 8, 1 and 2. He's wanting them to understand that he also struggles with sin. If you're familiar with Romans chapter 7, especially verses 7 through 25, it's like he has a split personality. Paul says, on the one hand, he knows what he ought to do, but on the other hand, that's never what he seems to do. And he talks about that. He explains that. He shares that with them. And maybe you feel in a similar way. You know what God wants you to do. But too often you find that that's not what you do. This is the dilemma. This is the challenge, the struggle that Paul finds himself in. That he sins far more than he wants to. So why would sinning make Paul or us frustrated? Why is sinning such a big deal? Well, to answer this question, we have to go back to the beginning. And I was going to have us do this, but I'm not going to take time. But I'm just going to highlight some verses as we build to Romans 8. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we find God creating all things, including people. And as creator, God has the right to do what he pleases with his creation. And then as Robert read earlier in Isaiah 6, 1 through 7, we learn that God is holy. Holy, holy. I just want you to think about that for a minute. The fact that God is holy. He's our creator and he's holy. Not meaning he has holes, but he's holy. H-O-L-Y, holy. He's completely separate from sin. He's the opposite of sin. God is our holy creator, and not only is he this, but he demands perfect righteousness. God demands that you and I live in a way that glorifies and pleases him in every aspect of our life. The problem with this is that we've failed. We have failed to do that. In Romans 1:25, Paul says that we have exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and we've worshiped the creation rather than the creator. We not only have failed to glorify God, to live righteously, but we've decided, I'm going to worship this thing rather than the creator of this thing. And sometimes that thing that we worship is self. Romans 3:23 says that we are sinners. It leaves nobody out in saying that we are all sinners and we failed to meet God's standard of holiness. In Romans 6:23, we learn that because of our sin, we have earned death. We've earned death. We deserve death for our sins. We've earned separation from God forever. And then jumping back to Romans 1:18, it says that we are under God's holy wrath for sin. God is holy and he hates sin. God is holy and he hates sin. And for God to be a holy and righteous God, he must punish sin and those who sin. And then Paul says in Romans 7 through 25, as I mentioned, we find Paul sharing his struggle as one who has been truly converted, yet who has a struggle with sin on a daily basis. Paul says in those verses, he says that he knows that in his flesh, nothing good dwells. That's a pretty harsh thing to say about yourself. I don't know about you, but I don't know we could find too many people that would be that blunt to say that there's nothing good in them that dwells. the truth that I want us to understand this morning is that you are a sinner. And I know that isn't an encouraging thing. I know that isn't a positive thing. But if we don't understand that we're a sinner this morning, we can't understand the glorious truth of no condemnation. We must understand that we are sinners. We must understand that. And Paul knew that. He got that. The truth is that we are, apart from Jesus, condemned as a sinner. A few years ago, I read the book, The Count of Monte Cristo. Has anyone else read this book, The Count of Monte Cristo? Now, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I chose to read the unabridged version, which for those of you who know things about books, that's the long version. And it was an awesome book, but it took forever to read. But what I found really fascinating is that whole book is all about revenge. But what was really interesting was the first part. That's what I want to mention right now is in this story, the main character, Edmond Dantès, he is condemned as a criminal. I'm not going to tell you the whole story because I think you should go read it because it's really good. I'm not going to tell you the end result. But he's convicted as a criminal and he is sentenced to the worst possible prison in France. Like, it is the worst situation that you could think of. And he's left there essentially to die. The food that he's given is just abysmal. It's terrible. It's not even worth mentioning. He's left there to die. This is the sentence that he has on him. Now, in the book, Edmond Dantès, he tries to beat the rap. He tries to prove that he didn't do this. He didn't do what he's accused of. But it all came to nothing. It all failed. He was condemned and he had to fulfill this sentence of living out the rest of his life, however much time that was, in this dark, dank, nasty prison. And the truth is, we too, like Edmond Dantès, face the wrath of God for our sins. And there's not a thing that you can do apart from Jesus to remove that judgment, that verdict of no condemnation. While this is true, the truth that we are condemned is true, there's a greater truth. And look at verses 24 and 25 of chapter 7. Here we find hope. Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law with my mind, but with the flesh I serve the law of sin." Where does he look in this battle with sin? Where does he look? In the moment of feeling wretched, Paul looks to Jesus. He looks to Jesus and he rejoices. He rejoices in his Savior. He rejoices in Jesus. God had rescued him from sin and death through Jesus. Jesus has given Paul the ability to not sin. Do you hear that? God has given Paul the ability. God has given you the ability to not sin. And it's in the new life that he has in Jesus. Because of Jesus, Paul can say no to sin. Because of Jesus, you can say no to sin. Therefore, Paul can say in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now, because of Jesus now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in that truth. Rejoice in the truth that because of Jesus, there is no more condemnation. You're not condemned. If you've responded to the gospel, if you responded in repentance and faith to Jesus, you are not condemned. Jesus took the condemnation. He took that sentence that you and I deserved, and he went to the cross. And he died. And they buried him. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Jesus took our condemnation so that we could enjoy God forever. Rejoice in this truth. Secondly, we rejoice in no condemnation by resting in Jesus' work. God wants you to rejoice in no condemnation by resting in Jesus' work. Jesus has done all that needs doing to forever secure your status as not condemned. If you've responded to the gospel, that's your status, not condemned. And there's nothing that can change that. Not you can change that. And if you look at the end of Romans chapter 8, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is awesome news. Because as I said earlier, we can become our greatest prosecutor, telling ourselves over and over again, you're a failure. If you really loved God, you wouldn't live like this. But we can say in those moments that I'm not condemned. I may not live the perfect life that I desire, that God wants, but by God's grace, I will. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the key word in that sentence is in. It's a little word, but it's important. If we simply know about Jesus, if we know truths about what Jesus has done for us, the reality is, you're still condemned. Head knowledge of Jesus alone does not save anyone. Paul makes it clear that for those who are in Jesus, they are the ones who are not condemned. The reason is because they have repented of their sins and turned in faith, trusting Jesus alone. They trust fully, they rest fully in the salvation that is provided to them by Jesus. At the moment of salvation, we become one with Jesus. Colossians 3:3 says it this way, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." My mind is odd, and you know that. But I have this idea of this ball. And when we repent and trust Jesus as our Savior, we're hidden in that ball. And I can search and search and search, and I can't find it. Because it's not just hidden, but it's united. It's mixed. It's become one with Jesus. We are in him. As you know, it's summer. If you don't know, just go outside and be in the humidity and heat. It's summer. And this coming week, it's me in the 90s a few days. So if you like warm weather, this is your time of year. But in the summer, I enjoy a glass of lemonade. Now, I know there's many ways to make lemonade, but for me, I'm a very simple person, and so just getting the mix is the best way I make lemonade. I know it might not be the best way to have lemonade, but you know that country time lemonade or whatever it's called? Get some of that, and you make some lemonade. You mix it in there. What happens to that dry lemonade mix when it goes in with the water? It dissolves, it becomes one with the water, it turns this yellowish color, it becomes one, it mixes with the water. Now, in a similar way, I realize that's a lemonade, and as we're talking about our relationship with Jesus, but in a very similar way, when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our life is mixed in with Jesus. If I wanted to, I can't hold that glass of lemonade and try to scoop out the dry lemonade mix. It's impossible, right? It just doesn't work. We can't separate ourselves from the love of God in Christ Jesus. When we are in Jesus, we are in Jesus. We're all in. There's nothing going to separate us from Jesus. That's amazing. That's an amazing truth. When we prosecute ourselves and we say, look at that terrible sinner, we can say, look at my great Savior. That's me. Because when God looks at us, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus' righteousness. He sees what Jesus has done for you. What a beautiful reality is to know that we are hidden in the life of Jesus. Jesus is our life. That's a glorious truth. The sad truth is that many professing Christians still seek to try to add to their salvation. They say, well, if God's really going to love me, I have to earn it. If God's really going to love me, I need to not sin. If God's really going to love me, I have to read my Bible every day. If God's really going to love me, I have to pray. I have to give. I have to serve. I have to, you fill in the blank. That's the sad truth that people live in that way. We live in a culture that says we must work hard. We must earn money so we can do this and buy this. We're trained from a young age that we are the ones who support ourselves. We're self-dependent. We don't need anyone else. And that works, sort of, if you're an American. But as a Christian, that is a terrible way to live. As a truly converted person, we cannot live the life that God wants us to live apart from Christ. We are not able to add to anything Jesus has done. But the glorious truth is we can rest in Jesus. Rest fully in all that he has accomplished for us. Many of you have had children or you've cared for children. And you know that when you hold a child, when a parent holds a child, a little child, and that child feels comfortable, that child feels secure, what do? They fall asleep. They rest in mom's arms. They rest in dad's arms. Because they don't worry that something bad's going to happen to them. They know dad's got me. Mom's got me. They rest in the security of their parent. They feel safe in their parent's arms. Are you resting in Jesus' work for you on the cross? Are you resting in what God through Jesus has done for you? Rest in Jesus. Third, we rejoice in no condemnation by living in freedom. We rejoice in no condemnation by living in freedom. God wants you to rejoice in no condemnation by living in freedom. We live in freedom as we depend on the Holy Spirit in our struggle. It's a weird way to look at it, but if we think of it, look at Romans 8:2. He says, For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life, the life-giving Spirit, has set us free from the power of sin and death, from the law of sin and death. Freedom is dependence on the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, working through what Jesus has accomplished, has given us freedom from sin and death. In Jesus, we have freedom from the power of sin. Sin no longer is our master. We're no longer enslaved to it. We no longer have death as our final outcome. We are freed. You are free from sin. You are no longer shackled to sin. It no longer commands you and dictates what you do. And that is something we ought to praise God for. At the moment of conversion, it is the Holy Spirit who gives us life in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not working apart from what Jesus has done, what God has done through Jesus. Rather, instead, the Holy Spirit applies Jesus' work in giving us new life in Jesus. The Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus. The freedom we have in Jesus comes from the Holy Spirit. And when we understand that no condemnation means I'm free. I'm not condemned, and so I no longer have to be controlled by sin. We have freedom, but that freedom is in the Spirit's working within us. The freedom we have comes from the Holy Spirit. And prior to Jesus leaving earth, prior to Jesus ascending to heaven, he does something for his disciples. They know he's leaving. They're not super excited about it if you've read the Gospels. But he says, I will send you a helper. He says, I will send someone to help you. We cannot grow and change apart from the Holy Spirit's work, apart from the Holy Spirit's help in our life. Romans 8 is awesome, as I said. And if we were to continue through Romans chapter 8, you would find someone mentioned who is not mentioned hardly at all in Romans chapter 1 through 7. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned more than 20 times in Romans chapter 8 alone. And it's because Paul says that when we respond to the gospel in repentance and faith, the Holy Spirit is the power that helps us to live the life that God wants us to live. The Romans 7 conflict, where I know what I should do, it's not what I do, and that's the keep going back and forth. Paul says the hope is the Spirit of God. The Spirit is what helps us kill sin. The Spirit is what helps us know that we are children of God. and all these truths we find in Romans chapter 8. We as Americans understand what freedom is, right? Freedom is getting to shoot off fireworks. Just kidding. That's not necessarily what freedom is. But we understand as Americans what freedom is. We spent yesterday or this weekend celebrating the fact that we are free as Americans. And that's something that we are thankful for and we are glad for. And there's many men and women who have given their lives so that we can still enjoy this freedom. And that's the important thing that I think we need to remember, and it connects to our passages, that while we are free as Americans, we are still dependent on our government leaders and our military to keep us free. There are men and women around the world who are still seeking to keep us free today. And the truth of the matter is, we're dependent upon them. And in a similar way, we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to help us continue to pursue freedom. In Christ, we are forever free in Jesus from sin's power, but we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit for daily freeing us from the sinful tendencies in our life, because left to ourselves, we're going to sin. Any good that we do, any God-glorifying choice in life that we make, it's all because of God, the Holy Spirit working in and through us. So, do you want to be free from the sins you struggle with daily? I know I do, and I'm guessing if you are honest, you do as well. We want to be free from worry, anxiety, fear, anger, unthankfulness, bitterness, gossip, lust, gluttony, slander, and the list could go on and on. We want to be free from these things. Sometimes they feel overpowering. And if you had to do this on your own, there's no hope. There's no victory. But the truth is, we are free. You are free from the sin that you struggle with on a daily basis. And that freedom is found in Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us freedom in Jesus through the gospel. Through the gospel. Preach the gospel to yourself daily. You might not think about this, but I'm guessing you talk to yourself on a regular basis. Somebody told me one time the first sign of sanity is talking to yourself. I don't know if that's a true statement or not, but I heard that. We talk to ourselves, or more accurately, we listen to ourselves. And as truly converted people, when those thoughts, those words come into our mind that we are sinful, that we deserve God's wrath, that we, how can we who call ourselves truly converted say, that is true when we sin in this way, and the list runs long. We need to remind ourselves of the gospel. We need to remind ourselves daily that God is holy, that we are sinful, that Jesus alone saves, and he can be ours through repentance and faith. We need to remind ourselves that the truth is, apart from Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I deserve God's holy wrath for sin. But because of Jesus, I stand not condemned. That truth is glorious. True freedom is found in dependence on the Holy Spirit. Our big idea from Romans 8, 1 and 2 was God wants you to rejoice in no condemnation. God wants you to find joy in the verdict of no condemnation. When the Holy Creator looks at you, he will see either condemned or not condemned. That's the only two options when God looks at you. The difference between condemned and not condemned is Jesus. It's in Jesus. Are you in Jesus? Have you responded to the gospel with repentance and faith? I can't know that about you. If you've responded to Jesus with repentance and faith, then when God sees you, he sees what Jesus has done. Think about that for a moment. I just want you to think about that for a moment. If you've responded to the gospel with repentance and faith, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus' perfect righteousness. That's awesome. That's good news. Because if he looked at us and saw sin, boy, we deserve his wrath then. But instead, when God looks at those who are his, those who are in Jesus, he sees not condemned. I want to leave you with two next steps from our passage today. They're really simple. One, repent of your sins and turn in repentant faith to Jesus. Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus alone for salvation. If you have not done this, as I said, you stand condemned and there's not a thing you can do about it. But the good news is God has done all that needed doing through Jesus. Second, for those of you who have done that, rejoice in no condemnation as your status. Rejoice in no condemnation. Find your joy today in Jesus, not in being a free American, which is great, which is good. Find your joy in Jesus. Find your joy not as a Harlanite. Find your joy not in, I'm an Iowa Hawkeye, or I'm an Iowa State Cyclone, or whatever you want to find your joy in today. Reject that and find it in Jesus, because of Jesus, we stand not condemned. There is no greater thing in the world than to know that you stand before God not condemned. Or to say it positively, you're justified. You've been made right. You've been made righteous because of Jesus. Find joy today in who you are in Jesus. God wants you to rejoice in no condemnation. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in our place for our sins. Thank you that we can have the status of no condemnation apart from anything we've done, but because of Jesus taking our sin on himself, dying in our place on the cross, and being buried and rising again. Father, help us to daily rejoice in no condemnation. Father, help us as we walk out these doors to rejoice in no condemnation. Father, help us when we sin to remember there's no condemnation and we can love you. Father, help us to remember this. Help us to live in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, depending upon him to kill sin and to rejoice in Jesus. Father, thank you for all you do for us in Jesus. Thank you for all that you do in all ways. Help us to be doers of your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.